reading to you from the 12th chapter of Mark, and with the 17th verse. And Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were amazed at him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and his normal converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. I told you we had such a wonderful service, 3 services at the prison Sunday. I just got a call today from the chaplain. He said, "Cecil, you got to bring out some more books. Go, Mo, go." And, "Hey, James, just one more story." Friends, I never dreamed that God would use those books in such a way. These men and women got nothing else to do but read. And they hear about Jesus, I'll guarantee. And they tell me every time they come and say, "Oh, I read your book. I sure enjoyed that." Well, it makes me feel good. Well, listen, hey, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Or maybe you'd like to have a lemonade tonight. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 5th chapter of Daniel, and let's begin reading with the first verse. Belshazzar the king held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the thousands. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, in order that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubine might drink from them. Then they brought the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods, little gods, of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the palace plaster of the walls of the king's palace, and the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began to knocking together. The king called aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me will be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom." Friends, this is a powerful, powerful chapter in Daniel. My stars in the morning. People do not realize how godless and how wicked and how terrible they are. You know what? I told you before, I've been to Washington, D.C., and I spent 3 days there with the congressmen and senators and banquets and prayer breakfasts and the whole shebang. And I'll tell you, it's not much different there than it was in King The Bible said in Leviticus 25:10, "Ye shall thus consecrate the 15th year and proclaim a release through the Lord to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family." The Bible says, "Proclaim liberty to the captives." And I read in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. My, how I love the scripture. That's exactly what my wife and I and my quartet have been doing for the past 24 years. And God has blessed us with hundreds and hundreds, yea, I suppose thousands, of precious souls. What an honor God has given us. And it humbles me to think that God would let somebody like me have the privilege of telling people that God loved them and that Christ died for them, and they can be delivered from the curse of alcohol, drugs, whatever. But that's what God has called. And you know, beloved, that's what God has called every one of us to do. Every one of us have that calling to go out and because the Spirit of God is upon us, and anoints us to bring news to the afflicted. You know, friends, a few years ago, my quartet, my wife and I, was at the criminally insane prison down in, I can't think of the name of the town, but anyway, there was a whole raft of them, I guess 50, those criminally insane men in there. And I tried my best to preach with love, with compassion, telling them that God loved them. And you know what, after the service, this young man, I'd say he was about 21 or 2 years old. I walked up to him. I said, "Well, son, how you doing?" "Oh," he said, "I'm pretty happy." I said, "Really?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I am happy." "Why?" "Well, I know my mom and my dad love me." "Well," I said, "that's wonderful." I said, "But now, what makes you say that?" "Well," he said, "my dad and mom own a big, big wheat ranch in Kansas. And the other day they sold the ranch, and they come over here and they bought a house near the prison." I said, "Well, so that they could come and see me every day." "Well," I said, "that's wonderful, but how long you got?" He said, "Oh, I have 2 100-year sentences. He killed somebody." But you know, friends, I walked up and some of those inmates come up and hugged me, and they said, "Oh, thank you for coming telling us that God really loves us." We kind of give up. Well, you know, people in prison really actually kind of give up. They, you know, their families have turned against them. They're outcast. It's pathetic. But you know what? God still loves them. And I'm so glad that God has chosen us to take the gospel message. You know, there's hundreds of men and women in the state of Colorado, as well as all the other states in the United States, volunteered to go out to these prisons and to tell them that God loves them. Oh, friends, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. I'm so glad. Well, you know, also the Bible tells us in John 32, the truth shall set you free. Beloved, I'm afraid that we have some listeners tonight who needs to be freed up so that God can use you. You know, there's so many people talking about the hypocrites. Oh, there's so many hypocrites in the church. Well, yes, there's hypocrites in the church. That's the best place to work. Why would they work outside of the church? They come in to disrupt the church. Well, anyway, but let's consider a stern text for a challenging time. Israel is in captivity to Babylon. Belshazzar was a king of Babylon, but he's celebrating. Mighty Babylon is about to be judged. So let's talk now just for a few minutes about the judgment of Babylon. It said, Belshazzar, the king, held a great feast for thousands of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the thousand. That's a lot of people at a party. A drunken feast, I might add. Belshazzar and his friends are having a drinking party. Oh, they celebrate. But that night, Babylon will fall. Who would have thought it? Mighty Babylon and its splendor, a city of beautiful homes and great defenses. Why, they had it made in the shade. But Belshazzar and friends, they feel safe in this sinful party. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's snockered. But one is never safe in sin. You know, Christian sin too. And you know what we're supposed to do if we do sin or make a mistake? We're to come to the Lord and confess it. And He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Now, there's a lot of people that think that, once you sin, you lose your salvation. Well, friends, that's not in the Bible. It's not, I hear this. I said, well, look, if that were the case, then why didn't Jesus say you must be born again, born again, born again, born again? What sin is it that sends you to hell? Well, the only sin that will send you to hell is a sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Even murder don't keep you out of heaven. You know, Saul of Tarsus, he consented to have Christians murdered and beat and put in jail. No, murder don't keep you out of heaven. Rejecting Jesus Christ will keep you out of heaven. You say, Cecil, look, I'm not religious. Beloved, listen to me. I'm not talking about religious or religion. And you heard me say it before, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I can hear some preachers turn the radio off right now. You don't. After you're saved, you should want to go to church, and you should want to go and be with other Christians. It's a wonderful thing, fellowship with Christians. And that's the one thing that really touched my heart after I was saved. That Wednesday and that Sunday, I went to church, and the people hugged my neck. Now, I'm sure the pastor told him that I'd come to his home at 3 o'clock in the morning, but the thing was, they didn't care if I was a town drunk. I tell some of these prisoners, look, now there's some churches that won't accept you. And they're so stuck up, if they went out in a rainstorm, they'd drown because their nose is up in the air. But I said, real born-again Christians will accept you. Because Jesus is a Christ of the second chance. Oh, friends, if it wasn't, I know where I'd be tonight. I'd be in a devil's hell. Well, sin is the greatest threat to liberty. We cannot continue on our present course and survive. Now, here's what it says in verse 2 and 4. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels, which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, in order that the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods, that's a small g, of gold and of silver and of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a God are you serving today? You say, well, I don't know. Well, every time you smoke a cigarette, you're lighting up to the God of smoke. Every time you drink booze, you're drinking to the God of booze. There's so many things. You know, hey, listen, you say, well, Cecil, you sound to me like like you just believe that Christians are perfect. No, they are not. No, and I am not perfect. I will guarantee you. If you doubt that, talk to my wife. She'll tell you right now, Cecil Moe's not perfect. But boy, howdy, I'm a whole heap better than I was 52 years ago when I was a stumbling, falling down alcoholic. Drinking led to the foolish actions. Now listen, alcohol use is our greatest drug problem today. Don't believe that? Well, it's true. Alcohol kills 25 times as many as all illegal drugs. Alcohol use in America is greatest cause of crime. I want you to know, my wife, She spoke out there. She says a few words to introduce me before I speak at the prison. And she said, I wonder how many of you men are here today because of alcohol-related crimes or drug-related crimes. Almost every hand went up. That's right, almost every hand went up. Why do you think I am effective in prison? Not because I'm not because I'm good-looking, not because I'm smart, but because I have been there. I have walked in their shoes, and I know that God has the answer to their problems, and He does yours tonight. I don't care what your problem is. He has the answer. Belshazzar calls for the sacred vessels stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. Now look at, friends, these vessels were set apart for the glory of God. They had been prayed over and dedicated to the Lord. Many of our nation's founders were people of faith. They set a new course for nations, a course of liberty. They hoped this nation would bring glory to God. But now many things are out of control. Abortion, alcoholism, AIDS, to name a few. Crime marches on, taking more and more victims. Friends, this will shock you. Maybe it will, and maybe it won't. Per capita, there is more alcoholism in Washington, D.C. than any place in America for the size of the city. There's murder. You know, one time I was there when I was a director of the rescue mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I was there and I wanted to go up to the rescue mission there in Washington, D.C. Cab driver said to me, well, when you plan on coming back? Well, I said, I don't know. I probably will eat dinner there and speak. Oh, no. You won't get any cab company to come up there after 6 o'clock in the evening because it is too dangerous in Washington, D.C., where 99% of the laws of our world are made right there in our capital. Well, crime marches on, taking more and more victims. Violence reigns in entertainment and life. Do you know, friends, you just don't know how horrible Hollywood is. See, those people, they don't live their own lives. They're acting someone else's lives. I know two Christian girls. I know their daddy real well. They're very popular in Hollywood, and they've done a lot of things, many movies. And they were dedicated to the Lord, and He's an evangelist and a great one. Did you know that they got him down there in Hollywood? Now he's not even preaching anymore. And he started living her life. There's another movie star. Her and her dad and her other sister were, he was an associate pastor of a large church in Texas. And they're in Hollywood now, and they've forgot God. Oh, friends, listen. We millions of people today don't have time for God. We need a revival to turn America from ruins and judgment. But it's coming, beloved. I want to warn you. No, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you. Excuse me. All you got to do is look at the news in the morning. Read your newspaper. We are getting to be the most godless nation in the world. I've heard people say, well, this is a Christian nation. Where'd you get that? Where did you get that? Did you know that the Mormon church is the fastest growing church in the world? It's, you know, and they're nice people. Oh, I'm not putting them down. They're nice people. They're giving people. But did you know they're wrong? They will say, oh, yes, here's the Bible. In fact, they give free Bibles away. But that's not enough. You got to go into the Book of Mormons. You've got to go, I could tell you some things that happened in a temple that you wouldn't believe, but it's happening today. No, I can't say that the Mormons are right. They talk our language, but they don't believe it. you've got to be baptized in the Mormon church to go to heaven, and the more women that you marry on earth by proxy, the bigger place that you're going to have in heaven. Well, there was a divine warning, according to the Bible. Suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the walls of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began to knock together. I know what it is to have your knees knocked together. It's a terrible fear. But the night of feasting became a night of fear, and the night of triumph became a night of terror. Oh, dear friends, let me tell you, there is a point at which sin is judged. The writing on the wall, man tekel upsherim. Daniel was called to interpret the writing, but listen. Belshazzar had been weighed and found wanting. The night the kingdom would fall, that night it would fall. Oh, beloved, please listen to me. Listen to me carefully. The writing is on the wall for America. We must face up to our sins. We must turn back to God while we have time. Are you willing to let America's need revival begin in you? Did you know what, friends? You can say what you want, but the rest of the world is watching our Democrats and our Republicans fighting for power. They don't give a plug nickel about our country. They fighting for their bonuses and for their pensions. This one senator here gets $3 million for the pension. Oh, but yet we can't even raise the minimum wage in our country. Now, I'm not a politician, know nothing about it, but I do know that Washington, D.C. is evil. You'll go to these parties and you'll see these senators and congressmen hugging each other and slapping each other on the back and drinking booze together. Then the next day you'll see them in the Senate fighting and cursing each other and carrying on. Beloved America, I love this country. I love this flag. I spent 4 years in the Navy, World War II, and I'm so glad I had an opportunity to serve in our country. But America is in bad shape. Oh, that the President of the United States would call a day of prayer and repentance like they did in Nineveh. Oh, my stars. Well, you and I who know Jesus, we have the answer. But what are we doing with it? We're shutting up. We won't witness. We don't talk about the Lord. Well, there's one thing we don't talk about is religion and politics. Someone told me one day, he said, you know what, you've got no right to telling me what to believe. I said, no, but I have an appointment to tell you because God commanded that I should tell you how to get to heaven. Oh, how you'll thank me someday. If you'd give your heart to Jesus, you won't go to hell. But if you don't, you will go to hell. Not because I said so, but the Bible says so. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You got to be born of the flesh, that's one. Got to be born twice, that's of the Spirit. And only God can do it. You say, well, I've been trying to live a good life. That is commendable. Truly it is. But that's not enough. A good life won't get you into heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, friends, let me ask you tonight, do you know Jesus? Do you know where you're going? Are you serving the Lord? And are you doing things you should do? God expects you and I to tell people about Christ. Well, Daniel, he knew what the story was because he was born again. He was a Christian. And he told that king what's going to happen. He died. He lost his kingdom because of sin. Not because they drank out of wine or because they stole a thing, but because of real sin. They weren't born again. They didn't acknowledge God. Well, friends, if you don't know the Lord tonight, I urge, I beg, I plead of you, come to Christ while there's an opportunity. He says, come unto me, all you have labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace or I'll give you rest. You say, Cecil, I'm tired of my miserable life of drunkenness and carousing and cheating. I want to have my sins forgiven. Then bow your head at me right now. Don't you dare pray this if you don't mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for my wasted, miserable life. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call me at 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I don't care where you go to church. I'm not asking you to leave your church. I'm asking you to leave your sins with Jesus so he can take you to heaven when you die. Well, friends, I'm standing by my phone, 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please take this message to your heart today. America is in bad shape. I love our country. I love our flag. I love our servicemen and women who are fighting to protect this great land. But I'll tell you, we need help, and we need divine help. We need help from God. We need God to step in there to the Capitol and straighten out some of those people who are baby killers. They don't care about our country. They're only concerned about themselves. But Lord, you can straighten them out. You've done it before. Maybe you ought to send them another Daniel. Well, friends, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.